Blog Talk Radio.
You've seen them talk on Twitter. You've seen the articles around the web. Now, hear them live. It's the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable on the Fantasy Sports Channel on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Jim Day. You know him as Fantasy Taz on Twitter. Go ahead, give him a tweet. Now, here's your host, Jim Day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a very, very special Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable for you tonight. Unless you're dead and buried, you know that we've been doing Draftmaster drafts for a few months now, and we've gotten up to and actually passed Draftmaster 100. So tonight is a special show because we are going to be doing, and actually are doing already, the Draftmaster 100 draft. We started at 8:30 so we could get some of it going, and we're actually moving pretty good. We're almost about finished through the fifth round, so we definitely have plenty to talk about already. So, you know, we got some good things lined up for you tonight. We got a lot of people in the chat room already. So we're gonna jump right in. Of course, let's bring in my co-host, Mr. Brian Quinlan. Brian, how are you tonight?
I'm doing as good as Marshawn Lynch is right now.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, bud. I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope it gets better for you. There's some ointment for that somewhere. I don't think it's over the counter, though. You might have to go to the doctor. And we also have some special guests. Co-hosts for you tonight that are going to be talking about some of these picks, and you know them both very well. Let's start off with Mr. Joe Everett, hosts the Fantasy Football Weekly Show or Fantasy Exchange every Wednesday night at 9. Joe, how are you tonight?
Super, guys. It's great to be on for this special occasion. I was regretting not being in the draft, but now in hindsight, it's going to be even better just ripping everybody else's pick and being on this side of things.
Well, there you go, and that does make it fun, and I get to rip on everybody's pick, too, including my own, since I'm in it and Brian's in it. Definitely a big cast of characters. We're going to get to them in a second, but we do have another special co-host that nobody knew about coming on tonight, and you may have forgotten him, but he was here a while ago, helping us out quite often, but, you know, I don't know. He kind of vanished there for a little while, but he's getting ready to come back any minute now, and that's, of course, Mr. Andy Miley. Andy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jim. Thanks for having me. And like Joe, I'm sad that I'm not in it, but I'm very excited to rip people apart. So, you know, my
well,
favorite thing to do, especially with you.
Well, there you go. And, you know, we're talking about the people, so let's tell everybody who's in this draft. And, of course, while we're talking, if my pick comes up, please somebody just give me a high sign or a nudge or something along that line. Up first with the first pick was Electric Relish. At number two was our own Brian Quinlan. Number three was Red Sox Nation 88. Number four was my partner Simon, Go Ahead Score. Number five was Big Jubes. Number six was Shane P. Hallam. Bet you he's going for Hankerson tonight. Number seven is All Purpose Roto, whether it's Bob, whether it's Chris, nobody freaking knows. So from now on, we're just going to call them Briss. Number eight is me, myself, Fantasy Taz. Number nine is W. Servy, Bill Servy. Number 10 is Wide Receiving. Number 11 is Eye of the Gator. I got to tell you, I love that name. And number 12 is our own Bruce Fat Cat 52. So those are the people involved in tonight's drafts. And, you know, we're going to have some talk, some fun with this. So let's go back and we'll go back to the first round. And, you know, why don't we go through the picks of the first round and, well, not through the whole one. We'll go through fast. I mean, the normal, Arian Foster went first to Relish. Chris Johnson went number two to Brian. Ray Rice went three to Red Sox Nation. Go Ahead Score took LeSean McCoy. Big Jubes took Adrian Peterson. Shane P. Hallam took Jamal Charles. All Purpose Roto took Andre Johnson. I took Darren McFadden. Bill Servy took Calvin Johnson. Wide Receiving took Roddy White. Eye of the Gator took Maurice Jones-Drew, and then Fat Cat 52 took Hakeem Nicks. So, Brian, I'll start with you first. Was there any surprise picks in this one in this first round for you?
Ray Rice going at three, I guess. Maybe a little bit of a surprise. I don't know. But I can't fault it. I mean, he is a workhorse there. I know there was some chatter in the chat room there about you taking Darren McFadden. People thought that might have been a little bit early. I don't really have a problem with it. I like McFadden, but I guess for some that was a little bit of a surprise. Other than that, I think we things fell out how they should. Keenan Nix was the third wide receiver. I expected that. And yeah, you know, first round, the same 12 guys pretty much, just mixed up differently.
Well, pretty much. Joe, what's your thoughts on McFadden in the first?
Well, it's definitely a little higher than what I would have gone, but ultimately, if you're looking at a full 16-game slate out of this guy, you are going to get some sick fantasy points if he's going at the same clip he was last year, which there's no reason to believe that he won't. Is it a chance I would take? Maybe not, but if you believe in the talent, I think that's where you've got to take him, because you know better than I do, he's not going to be there for you in the second round, so I would definitely do that.
Andy, what's your thoughts?
No, I like McFadden. I probably wouldn't have taken him at 1-8. I would have probably taken him closer to the turn, but that's where you had him. So if you wanted him, there was no other chance to pick him. I probably would have went Calvin or Roddy White, but, you know, obviously there's more opportunities to get lucky on wide receivers a little bit later if you go ahead and you know you have that first running back position taken care of.
Absolutely, and for me, it was a no-brainer. I mean, you know, whether you pick him 8, whether you pick him 10, whether you pick him 12, whether you even pick him, you know, at 2.02, it doesn't matter. If he's your guy that you're going to pick early, you got to take him where you pick. And in this draft, I happen to pick 8. So at that point, I could have gone wide receiver. Absolutely, some great wide receivers there. But like you said, I think the wide receivers can be had a little later. I wanted to get some strong running backs in this one. And that was my thought pattern going in. And I love McFadden in Draftmaster because even if he misses a couple of games, he's going to have some great big games and score for you no matter what. So, and I like what Hugh Jackson is going to do there. So definitely went with that. So, Brian, why don't you tell everybody who went in the second round?
All right, who went in the second round here, if I can get to it? All right, what do we got here? Well, Fat Cat Bruce took Frank Gore coming off the hip injury. I had a Gator. Went with Rashad Mendenhall in the second pick, wide receiving. Followed that with Matt Forte. You got Bill Survey taking Steven Jackson. Jim, of course, they're taking Miles Austin, followed by All Purpose. Did we figure out if it's Bob or Chris? I think it's Bob. Took Larry Fitzgerald. Shane with Greg Jennings, followed by Big Jubes with Mike Wallace. Simon from Go Ahead Score, the technical genius, go ahead and took the first quarterback off the board with Mike Vick. Red Sox Nation 88 took Dwayne Bowe next. I followed that at 211 with Reggie Wayne. And to finish it up, Electric Relish took the young Mike Williams from Tampa Bay.
So I'll start with you this time, Joe. Any surprise picks here?
Well, I'm surprised Electric Relish had just about timed out. So if you're out there listening, ER, first off, the other surprise pick, well, not surprised Bruce went Frank Gore. That is, I'm going to have to call it, that's Homer on Fat Cat there. Bottom line, though, I haven't seen Mike Vick fall this late in most of the drafts. I've been, now, granted, the Draft Masters are, you know, it's 4-point pass touchdowns, but he's that elite quarterback as far as the rushing stats are concerned. So if memory serves, he's been going a lot earlier. I think that's a decent value as far as if you're going to jump on that first quarterback, you believe in the Vic Payne train, well, jump on that wagon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if you're going to go for it, then you got to go for it. 2.09, definitely value. A lot of people going the end of first, beginning of the second. I think we'll see that start to fade away once we get closer to August. I think we'll see the quarterbacks start to be pushed down a little bit, in my opinion. How about you, Andy? Any special picks here? Any picks you like more than others, or anybody you really want to talk about that you think just sucks?
Well, first, I really like Rashard Mendenhall at 2.2. Yeah, I'm a Steelers fan, but still, I think he's great value. I have him as a top 7 running back, so getting him in the beginning of the second round, I think is pretty darn
good.
Sorry,
that was gas. That wasn't a laugh.
Well, yeah, that's right. Miles Austin at 2.5, that speaks for itself. That's my giggle back at you. I would say Mike Wallace, it's a little bit too early for my taste. And Reggie Wayne, I think this is the year that he falls off the cliff. So
Wait. Expound on that, because people talk about that all the time. Reggie Wayne is definitely losing it. He's not doing the job. And, you know, this is a guy that had freaking 111 receptions, over 1,300 yards last year. Why are people – he's only 32. It's not like he's 36, 37. You know, what's going on with that? Why do people expect him to just fold up and go away?
Well, number one, he's got a contract issue that he thought he should be in the front of the line. Obviously, when all the CBA stuff gets taken care of, Peyton is going to be front and center, and Reggie was one that they keep on rebuffing anyway. I mean, obviously, you got Mathis that's in front of him as well. So if he's feeling like he is kind of the forgotten guy, and obviously when your boy, Collie, was fully healthy, he was the number one target, and also Clark was more targeted while they were there before Wayne. So Wayne right now is basically the number three receiver for the Colts. And
he had 176 targets last year, dude. In a game when both Collie and Dallas Clark were healthy, he had 19 targets, 15 receptions, 196 yards against the Jaguars.
It's like you said, against the Jaguars. What kind of defense do they run?
Does that matter?
Anybody?
Every player in the league goes up against bad defenses. So what? It's part of the game.
Looking at him, he lost.
Aren't you glad you came back tonight, Andy? I sure do miss you.
Yeah, I know. And that's fantastic. I think he's losing it. And we will see this year whether you're right or whether we know I'm right. Thank you.
Okay, so let's keep going. Nothing really surprising. So let's move on to the third. Let's see. I'll go through the third for you all. Third round, Electric Relish took Javid Best. Brian took Jeremy Maclin. Red Sox Nation took DeSean Jackson. Got to tell you, that's a little bit of a eye-opener for me. Go-Ahead Score took Ryan Matthews. Big Jubes took Aaron Rodgers at 305. Nice steal. Shane P. Hallam got Peyton Hillis. He's a, I won't say, on the air. All-Purpose Roto took Vincent Jackson. I took Michael Turner at 308. Will Servi took Ahmad Bradshaw at 309. Wide receiver took Antonio Gates. Eye of the Gator took Wes Welker. And then Fat Cat took Peyton Manning. So, Andy, we'll start with you this time. Which pick did you like the best?
The pick that I like the best, Aaron Rodgers at 3-5. You know what you're getting from him. I know he's got the two concussions, but he's got the brand-new helmet going on that hopefully is going to prevent that. And I actually like Shane's pick of Peyton Hillis. I know he's been getting a lot of crap in the chat room, but for in the middle of the third round to get somebody that everybody's going, well, Hardesty couldn't stay healthy in college, let alone now they have a great offensive line, and I hate the Browns, and I'm still saying that this guy's a good pick. DeSean Jackson is way too early for my taste. Actually, both Philadelphia wide receivers are, but Maclin does deserve to go before DeSean Jackson, and I'm a DeSean Jackson owner in a dynasty league.
Yeah, no, I definitely have to agree with that. How about you, Brian? Any thoughts here? What's the pick you don't like?
Let's see. The pick that I don't like. Vincent Jackson. I'm not a big fan of Vincent Jackson. I don't know. There's a lot of hype about Vincent Jackson, but I can't remember offhand exactly what his stats are in his best year, but it's not like it's incredible. It's a PPR league. I think what does he top out at? 70 receptions in that vicinity anyway. He's just kind of disgruntled, not sure, came up with a little injuries last year. I'm not a big fan, but I'll go with another Charger and say Ryan Matthews, because Ryan Matthews I just can't stand. The value of Ryan Matthews, I don't like. The potential's there, but the value, I'm sorry, but he went before Ahmad Bradshaw, and Bradshaw has proven himself.
Bradshaw has proven himself, although I have to think that, you know, Matthews may have a little bit more upside. Plus, we don't know where Bradshaw is going to go at this point. I do hope he stays with the Giants, but we really just don't know yet. So
I can't imagine they'd let him go.
Well, it may not be up to them.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps saying that, but, you know, the players may not have the, you know, the choice there. So it is what it is. So let's see. Oh, I'm up again. So I am up in the seventh round. Who am I going to take? Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. Maybe I'll go for another running back and really just get that running back situated.
Nah, did you really just go ding, dong, ding, dong? Is that what the frig was that?
I mean, surely we could get a soundbite in here for that. Come
there
on.
You go.
Okay, here's my pick. Come on.
I'm using this newfangled studio. Not sure what the heck, how to use it. Oh, we got a caller on the line. Why don't we bring the caller in and see what they have to say about the draft so far? Yeah, there you go. Hey, Bill, is that you?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, Jim. I was just listening to the show. How's it going?
Okay, how's it going for you? How's your draft going
Oh, terrible.
Far?
I'm getting abused. My wide receivers are going to be hating.
Well, okay, we're talking about the first three rounds already, so I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. What do you think was the worst pick of the first three rounds?
Worst pick in the first three rounds. That is putting me on the spot. I'm going to have to go, you know me, I'm going to have to go with Mike Vick. Sorry, I'm not believing in it. I just think that with the value in quarterbacks at later rounds, I can't see taking Vick that early.
Oh, I have to say I've become a believer. I really have. He gets hurt a lot, but he just hasn't missed much time, and boy, just gives everything on the field. And I am definitely a sucker for a player that's going to go out there and give everything they got. And he is definitely doing that. So, you know what? I'm not saying in a redraft I would pick him that early. I just won't. The quarterback depth is too great. There's too many guys I can get much later, solidify other positions. But you know, I'm not going to get down on anybody for making that pick anymore. I just can't. The kid's just got way too much upside. He's still young enough to do damage for quite a few years here. So,
agree. He could be the number one player this year. I mean, very possibly. So,
right. So it really comes down to whether or not let's just get it out there. It really comes down to whether or not you got the cojones to take that chance. So obviously you don't, but that's okay. Not all of us do.
I agree. I don't.
And you're in Florida, so I mean, you know, land of retirees. They're not really big on cojones down in Florida.
What? Are you kidding me? Spanish nuts, they don't eat those in Florida? Are you crazy?
So let's keep going before this gets out of hand. So let's move on to round four. Come on, Andy, read off who got people in round four.
Bruce took Austin Colley. I have Gator took Stevie Johnson. Wide receiving, finally didn't take a wide receiver and took LeGarrette Blount. Bill Servi took Drew Brees. You took Johnny Stewart. Bob took Dez Bryant. Shane took Phillip Rivers. Big Jukes took Brandon Marshall. Simon took D. Will, D'Angelo Williams. Red Sox Nation 88 took Brady. Imagine that. Brian took my favorite, most prettiest man in the NFL, Marshawn Lynch. And Electric Relish took Marquise Colston and commented on it.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's been doing that the whole draft, which almost made him late. So, Joe, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think was the worst pick of this round?
Sorry, Brian. Lynch here is clearly shouting out to everybody here that, I mean, I just hope you don't have as much gold in your mouth as Marshawn. Maybe that's a good thing. I'm not sure. Bottom line, though, there's a lot of other values to be had with all these flex positions, the wide receivers that went out, weekly options like Lloyd and Colston, and you know, even the tight end run that's still elite. I'm not sure I would have jumped on Lynch right then.
Yeah, I'd love to say, Brian, I'm starting to become a believer, but my nose is big enough. So I'm just not going to go there, dude. I just, you know, I know he's in a good position, and right now he's the guy. And, you know, although all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have to say I'm starting to hear things about Leon Washington not taking over as a starter by any means, but all of a sudden he may be back in the running or in the running as being that third down back for them that we were thinking they may go out and find somebody else. They're starting to say he's looking really explosive again. So Keep your eye out for that. I'm not saying he's going to steal anything from Lynch. I'm not saying that. Lynch is going to do it himself.
Give me a chance to defend myself. So first, I usually have a strategy when I come into these drafts. At that point that I took Lynch, I had one running back, two wide receivers. The other running backs on the board, like Green, Noshon Moreno, Felix Jones, I actually was looking for a different guy. It didn't work out. But Marshawn Lynch, he's in a good situation there, as we've discussed. They've amped up the O-line, grabbing a couple of rookies in the draft early. And what you have to remember about this guy, he can also catch. He had 7 catches week 14 against San Francisco. It's not like the guy can't catch the ball. So he is a little bit of a threat in PPR. I think he's going to be a little bit more comfortable. You're probably looking at the guy who's going to get 260, 250 carries. And, I'll take that. I know that it's a bit of a risk, and sometimes you got to do that when you run into a guy you think is really going to be valuable. And, ultimately we'll see at the end of the year whether or not I was a fool or whether or not it was a brilliant move.
Do we have to wait? I can weigh in right now.
I know you can weigh in, Jim. I know you can.
But let's bring up one point, though.
I was just
going to say, he also doesn't have to buy a mask for Halloween, which is very helpful. And that's what I love about this man. That's why
he already had his Halloween costume, because him and Chris Johnson are going to go out as Siamese twins.
Subconsciously.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, the show is off the charts, and that's the way it should be. So, Joe, what's the best pick of the fourth round?
Well, I am a little biased, as you all may know out there. So,
Ernie
shows in the chat and Big Drew on Twitter. Yeah, Mr. Brandon Aloysius McGillicuddy Marshall Esquire III. Maybe he's only the second, but he's the best. So,
I heard he sneezed and his snitches came out.
No, that's not happening. He's, even if they did, I ain't shook, and neither's Marshall. But I still think, though, that's a great value. PPR league, and you're getting a weekly plug-in starter with all these flex options. That's pretty invaluable in that league.
So let's take that thought process a little further. Do you think in Miami that Chad Henne ends up as the starter for the full season?
I don't see how they're going to bring in anybody else at this point. I mean, they seem to be invested in it, and that's the way the coaching staff's going. I mean, even the last coordinator believed in him. I think they're going to give him 1 year. They should give him 1 year, I think. Marshall's a lot to adjust to. The guy's he's got a big-time ego, and, I mean, you got to make him happy and learn to deal with that kind of, he's tough to deal with. But sometimes the most talented people are. They're the biggest jerks.
Yeah, I know. That's what people tell me all the time. Okay. Let's keep on going. Let's go into the fifth round. We're actually into the eighth round of the actual draft. You are listening, of course, to the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable. I am your host, Jim Day, a.k.a. the Fantasy Taz, and this is the Sports Geeks Radio Network. You can find us every night of the week. We got more shows coming, and that's just at sportsgeeksradio.com. Check it out all the time. All the great shows coming at you all the time. But we are the only fantasy football show on the entire network. That is why we rule. And I am up, so it is my turn, and I need a quarterback. So here comes my quarterback. Sorry, folks, but last viable number one for me.
Homer.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Homer. I don't like the freaking guy. But he puts up fantasy points, so he's mine. I consider him the last full-ditch starter. So when it gets there, I'm grabbing him. Let's go back and... I do want to say that in 6 minutes, we do have an announcement of a new game that we're going to be putting out, starting up, and actually unveiling to the world tonight on the show, called Free Agency Frenzy. And it's free to enter. I'll post a link in the chat room, and then we'll be tweeting it right after that. Just go check it out. It's pretty much self-explanatory. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's brand new, and Simon did all the work on it himself. So go ahead and let him know once you get to see the game whether or not you like it. I don't think there's any way you can't like it. He did a great job on it. So that'll be coming up shortly. So let's get back. We are talking about round five now. So, Joe, why don't you go ahead and give everybody a list of who went in round five?
Well, my main man, Electric Relish, kicked us off with Brandon Lloyd. Brian was next and nabbed Percy Harvin there. Red Sox Nation of 503 got Sean Green. Go-ahead score, a.k.a. Simon the Brains. Santonio Holmes there at 504. Big Jukes was next. Went tight end with Jermichael Finley. Shane took Sydney the Hip Rice. APR is, I believe that's Bob, went Felix Jones at 507.
Chris. No,
you're still
Briss.
My boy, Chris.
Bob plus Chris equals Briss.
Briss.
From now on, I'm calling them Briss. I'm tired of trying to figure out who APR is. So from now on, they are Briss. I have deemed it so. Everybody call him Briss.
On your show.
No, everywhere. Everywhere
covers
you talk
all
to
the
these
bases.
Guys from now on, just start calling them Briss.
Well, Briss went ahead with Felix Jones. You went tight end with Jimmy Graham, Jim, there, and W. Servey Dallas Clark at 509. Wide receiver was next with Tony Romo. Drew Bledsoe calls him something else. And then lost my place there. The Q refreshed on me totally. Eye of the Gator took Kenny Britt at 511, and Fat Cat rounded it off with Jason Witten.
Okay, so Brian, what's your favorite pick in this round?
My favorite pick in round five, I'm not going to say my own, I guess.
No, don't say your own. Don't be one of those guys.
I will not be one of those guys. You know what? I like Brandon Lloyd. And I know a lot of people don't like Brandon Lloyd because the assumption is John Fox is bringing in a run-first offense. But Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator there, has had a 1,000-yard receiver every single year that he has called plays since 2003. So while we all expect his numbers to drop off big time, I like Brandon Lloyd there. I think it's a good pick. I don't think that, you know, we're going to see Lloyd go from, you know, he's not going to be the number one or number two ranked receiver like he was this year. But he's going to be good, and it wouldn't surprise me if he overperforms for what his ADP is.
No, and I'm with you on that. He's still the number one there. We've been arguing, you know, pretty much all off season on who might be the number two. But let's face it, Brandon Lloyd is the number one. People are definitely downplaying him and valuing him because of the coaching change and all of that. And, you know, he definitely will see a regression. Well, you can't even call it a regression with him because he never did it before. we could say we'll see a decrease in his numbers. So I don't want to get Mike Clay pissed at me for using regress in the wrong way. I like him in the fifth round. Definitely well worth the chance in the fifth round for Lloyd. At that point, you're probably looking at your wide receiver two and maybe even wide receiver three.
And that was
fall
the three.
Back.
Third receiver there, so yeah.
So definitely can't fault that. Okay, how about you, Andy? What's your least favorite pick that round?
Well, can I pick two?
Well, start with one, and then we'll get back to the other.
No, I'm going to say them both. Sean Green and Kenny Britt. I don't like either of them in the fifth round, maybe in the eighth, maybe in the tenth, but way too early for me.
Well, everybody knows how I feel about Sean Green, so I won't beat that to death. He'll do it for me soon enough. You know, Kenny Britt, it's a tough one. It depends on who they bring in as quarterback. You know, even if he gets suspended for the first two games of the year, so what in this format? You know he's going to come back and have some big games for you. You know, it's whether or not you want to take the chance on that upside. But, again, if, you know, Locker ends up starting, then that's going to it's gonna hurt. And Bird is in the chat room saying Britt is a punk. Yeah, we know that, Bird, but we really don't care. He can play on the field. We know quite a few punks that are on the field, but they can play on the field. Go ahead.
My biggest concern with Tennessee is where's the leadership? They don't have it anymore. With Collins retiring, not to say that Kerry Collins was great leadership, but you know if your leader is Chris Johnson, who we know is going to hold out. I mean, who are they going to go to? They got a new head coach. It's not like they have some strong veterans. The team is just kind of going to kind of flop around. And you got Kenny Britt you're going to hope on. I want nothing to do with any offense on this team, save for Chris Johnson. And then you don't know if he's going to come in and get broke because he's going to hold out for until September, probably, unless Tennessee just caves and gives him a big, brand-new spanking contract.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And there's definitely, you know, some truth to that statement at this point. We don't know who's going to take control of that team. But at the same time, Kenny Britt's just a baller when he's on the field. The kid can play the game. He's an idiot when he's out there, and he definitely succumbs to peer pressure a little too often. Just like his big playability, especially in Draftmasters. I think he's in, you know, a good pick in a Draftmaster format because, again, you don't have to worry about when he has his big games. You just know you're going to get some. So let's keep going. Oh, I'm almost up again. Cool. Let's go into the sixth round. We're getting caught up. And right after we do the sixth round, we are going to unveil the new free agency frenzy. So let's get into the sixth. Brian, why don't you tell everybody who was taken in the sixth round?
All right. Who went in the sixth round here? We've got leading off was Bruce again. Fat Cat took, Mark Ingram. That's the first rookie off the board, I believe. Followed up by Eye of the Gator with Matt Schaub.
Didn't Julio Jones? Oh, no, later on Julio Jones went. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Matt Schaub went with Eye of the Gator, took him next, then had wide receiving, taking Michael Crabtree, followed by another 49er from Bill Servey, taking Vernon Davis. Jim taking Jacoby Ford, and that might be the earliest I've seen him go. And then you had Brisk from All Purpose Roto taking Daniel Thomas, the next rookie off the board. Shane Halen taking Noshon Moreno, Big Jubes with Fred Jackson, my guy right there. Simon from Go Ahead Score taking Anquan Boldin. Red Sox Nation 88 going with Pierre Garcon, followed by me. Taking Ben Roethlisberger, I'm not so sure about that one. And Electric Relis going with Owen Daniels, the tight end.
Okay, so Andy, here's your shot, buddy. What's the worst pick of this round?
I'm going to say my buddy, my friend, Shane P. Hallam, Noshon Moreno. Everything is saying that Denver, that John Fox is going to bring somebody else in to be the number one guy. He's going to be the third down back. Yes, he's done it. He's had two 1,000-yard rushers on the same team, but they don't have the same offensive line that they have in Carolina. I don't see Denver being able to feature both of them exclusively because you got to think that probably you're going to have and Mr. Holyman, quarterback right now, whose name's escaping me, Tim Tebow. As I say it, it comes to me. It must have came from me from above. But he's going to steal touchdowns from him. And whoever is the number one running back, whether that being D'Angelo Williams, Ahmad Bradshaw, they are not going to just go with this guy as being the number one. Whoever else gets in there, I just don't see the value right now. And I love the Roethlisberger pick, Brad. But, you know, my Steeler homerism, again, in Fat Cat got huge value, I think, with Mark Ingram. I haven't seen him go this late.
Okay, Joe, how about you? What do you think was the best pick of this round?
The Ingram one was good value. I don't mind Marino. I'm actually looking at W. Servey again. He did go back-to-back tight ends in rounds 5 and 6, but still getting Vernon Davis after some of the other tight ends. Like, you know, JerMichael Finley, do we know he can stay healthy? Jimmy Graham, do we have enough a large enough sample size from him? I'll take Vernon Davis. I mean, I don't care who his quarterback is. The guy's, I think, a freakishly athletic enough guy that he can get the job done without, you know, whoever. Who was it last year? He still got double-digit touchdowns. I think he's still on an upward trajectory. And, hey, if Harbaugh gets things sorted out, that's a heck of a pick.
Okay. Well, that's it for that round. So let's do it. We're going to talk some free agency frenzy. You know, we're going to break it out to you guys. I am posting the link as we chat in the chat room. This is the link for it right now. If you get a chance, go check it out. If somebody could tweet that, I would greatly appreciate it. Like I said, Simon, put it all together. When you're done with it, let them know how you feel about it. But we love it. We think you're going to love it, too. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a little bit different. Go in there and have some fun with it, and let us know what you think. So, it's different. It's you know, you get to pick which players you want, where you want them to go, get points for all of that. It's all good to go. So let's see. Fat Cat just picked in the ninth. Let's go back. We are back to the seventh round. Okay, seventh round is up. So I will tell everybody who went in the seventh. Electric Relish took Matt Ryan. Brian took Cedric Benson. Red Sox Nation took Joseph Addai. Go Ahead Score took Mario Manningham. Big Jubes took C.J. Spiller. Shane P. Hallam took Mike Thomas. All Purpose Roto took Josh Freeman. Fantasy Taz, that's me, took Santana Moss. Will Servey took Ryan Grant. Wide Receiving took Johnny Knox. Eye of the Gator took Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Fat Cat took Julio Jones. I got to say, let's see. There's some different picks in this round for me. So, Andy, we're not going to start with you this time. Brian, who? What's your favorite pick in this round, Brian?
Well, let's see. I like Mike Thomas. You know, I think people were expecting, what's his name, the rookie Gabbert to somehow or another take that job over. But Garrard did not do bad. I mean, he had a pretty good year. So I don't think that he's going to just lose his job right away. Mike Thomas is the guy there because Tim Walker, I believe, is gone. And he's a quick little dude. He's a PPR guy. I like Mike Thomas there. I think that's a good pick. Yeah, I think that out of this round, that's probably my favorite pick.
Okay, Mike Thomas. It's definitely an interesting pick. There's no doubt about it. He's either going to shine or die this year.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if he can make it as a number one. I definitely like his value in PPR leagues because I think he's going to score a ton. And these fireworks are going nuts right above my head. they're having a good old time over there at the fireworks show. It's New Jersey, so of course it's a week late. So, let's see. I'm almost up again, so I'll have to pay attention. I'll go to you, Joe. What was your least favorite pick of this round?
Looking at it right now, I'd have to say it's a tie between Manningham and probably Julio Jones. I love Julio Jones as much as everybody else, but, I mean, Michael Turner didn't die, first off, so they're going to still try and run the ball in Atlanta. I mean, just schematically what they do, and I'm just not sure what kind of big impact is coming there when Roddy White and, you know, Tony Gonzalez are still there. But the crux of the thing, I'd still stick with it. I'd probably stick with Manningham because, once again, I just don't know how much we can trust him. Once again, there's other established receivers. And, yes, he was looking pretty good at times last year. It's just inconsistent. And what do we know about Steve Smith's status with the knee injury, contract issues? And also I'm a huge fan of Jernigan, but then again, how much is he going to make impact? I just not a huge fan of Manningham there.
You know, Manningham had a really nice season last year, and people are discounting him this one. You know, we don't know if Steve Smith is going to be gone or if he's going to be back, and, of course, that'll make a difference. But I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. I think, you know, Manningham made his mistakes last year, no doubt, but he still ended up putting up some nice numbers, and I think Eli's going to remember that. And I am up right now, so what do I want to do? What do I want to do? What do I want to do?
Never too early for a kicker.
Yes, it is. Here we go.
Defense.
I know what I want to do. There we go. Since Bill Servey just took my guy, I'm going to have to take the next guy. You know, and you guys, let's go back real quick to my Jacoby Ford pick, because I figured one of you guys would touch on it, and you really didn't. So let's go back to it. People said I picked him early. The one thing I've come to find being on these shows and talking about all these guys is everybody gets to know who I like. And the problem is you got guys like Bill Servey and especially Bruce Fatcat who just love to take my guys in front of me and just sit there and giggle while they do it. Because they know they're playing with me. They know it. They know they're sitting there having fun with it and busting my chops. And because of that, I have to take my guys maybe a little bit early than people would assume. But you know what? Jimmy Graham going might have been early. But, you know, I look at the upside of what Jimmy Graham has in that offense with Drew Brees throwing to him. And to me, it's phenomenal. I mean, you could be looking at a top three tight end by the time the season's over. I think he has that kind of ability and that kind of upside. So I really love him in this because I know he's going to have some big games during the season. And I feel the same way for Jacoby Ford. I think this kid is really going to break out this year. I really love what he did at the end of the year. And it wasn't only just big plays. People seem to assume that he made a couple of big plays and that's how he got his points. Go back and watch, you know, some of the things he did do while he was on the field. And he wasn't just big plays. He was making all kinds of plays. He was out there playing hard, playing fast, and doing all things right. I really think he's going to step up this year. And if I have to grab him around early so Fat Cat can't take him from me, I'm going to do that. So that's what happens when you talk about this. Joe, don't you find that at all when you do drafts?
Nobody listens to what I say. No, yeah, I mean, you often will. I mean, Rain Genius is out there listening now, I'm sure, and he's actually told me word for word, well, I just picked who you would pick just to piss you off. And I was like, wow, that is you really went the full Monty there. But, hey, you know, sometimes, like you said, people like to play it that way. But I don't know in this case, Jim, I would want to bet that he would have been there for your next round's pick. And for the matter that Fat Cat wouldn't have gone between your pick, if I'm looking at it right. So you may have had a chance at Jacoby one round later.
No, I might have, but at the same time, we're doing a radio show, and I'm doing this and doing that, so it's not as easy to get guys ready. And I got a queue set up of guys that I want, and when it gets to be my pick, I look through that queue, and whoever I want there is going to go there. So, you know, ADP be damned.
I hear that.
You know, this has got to be my 115th draft so far this season. You know, I feel pretty comfortable that by the time I finish, I'm going to have a pretty solid roster. I mean, I look at it now, and I'm pretty okay with it.
Imagine that. So do I get to comment on round seven? Or
go ahead. Knock yourself out, Mr. Andy.
Why, thank you. I love the demeaning Mr. Andy as well, you goof.
I called you Mr.
Mr. Andy. That's like something you call like a 3-year-old. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go to Blissey's pick.
Talk about somebody reading into words.
Hey, I read into words all the time. I'm going to go into Blissey's pick. I'm going into Blissey's pick. Let me talk about Blissey. It's your favorite way to call him. Blissey with Josh Freeman, the 11th quarterback pick. That's ridiculous value at the 7-7. If any draft that I'm in and I can get Josh Freeman at the 11th quarterback taken, that's great freaking value there.
So you think he's going to repeat his numbers from last year?
I think he'll come close. I don't think he's going to repeat them. But for where you're getting him, you can concentrate on running back, wide receiver, and tight end while everybody else is taking something a little bit, taking quarterbacks early. I like waiting on quarterback if I can. So I like the move.
Yeah, no, and I'm not arguing. In the seventh round, I think good value for Freeman. You know, the great thing about Freeman is, you know, he's going to get some rushing touchdowns. And people just seem to undervalue quarterbacks that, you know, are going to get some rushing touchdowns, some rushing yardage. I'm not talking Michael Vick-like, but, you know, he's going to get, you know, probably those 4, 5, 6 touchdowns a year for you on the ground and, you know, put up a few hundred yards rushing as well. So, you know, that's an important thing to realize with him because he definitely brings value there. And like I said earlier, you know, I get to the point where, you know, Eli is like my last starter that I'll take and, you know, I'll grab him. If I would have lost Eli there, if somebody would have taken Eli before him, I wouldn't have liked my quarterbacks when we were done. So, again, you know, I'm not a huge fan of Eli in the NFL, but in fantasy he puts up nice points, so I'm not going to worry about that. You know, two years of 40,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, I'll take it. So let's keep moving. We are now moving into, what did we just do, the eighth round?
We did the seventh.
So let's go into the eighth round. Brian, why don't you tell everybody who was taken in the eighth round?
All right, I'll try and make it quick because I think my turn's coming up next. Bruce Fat Cat took up Mike Tolbert at 801. Then you had Eye of the Gator follow up with Matt Stafford, wide receiving. Went with Ryan Terrain. Bill Servi went with A.J. Green. Jim, our own Fantasy Taz, went with Eli Manning. Britt from All Purpose Roto took Sam Bradford. Shane Halem went with the other Mike Williams from Seattle, Big Jubes. Went with the rookie running back, Ryan Williams. Go ahead, scores. Simon took Steve Smith of the Giants. Next, Red Sox Nation went with Rob Gronkowski. I filed his tight end pickup with Zach Miller. Electric Relish went with James Starks. And that was that's the last pick of the eighth round there.
Okay. Let's see, Joe, which pick do you like the least?
Now, I'm a big Ryan Williams fan. I'm just going to put that out there right away, but it's more on a dynasty sense. I mean, Arizona clearly doesn't have their act together, and what I can't stand is that they're going to have three free agents on that O-line, or actually all of them are not under contract. The only one they have under contract is Levi Brown, who's overrated in the first place. So it's very tumultuous in the front five there for Arizona, and as much as I have high hopes for Williams, I mean, I know he's got that star potential, but at the same time, a bad situation is a bad situation. This is redraft. I don't know if I would have gone another direction, different position there.
Okay, how about you, Andy? What pick sticks out to you in this round?
I really like the James Starks value. I like that better than freaking knucklehead Ryan Grant in the seventh. I absolutely love James Starks at the bottom of the eighth. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy comparisons comparing him to, you know, Adrian Peterson Light, and I'm not sure that's the case. And you have Alex Green coming in as well. But for what he did and how he performed at the end of the year when he was finally healthy, I think that's a great situation right now. And all you're hearing about Big Mike Williams is that if Seattle actually has a quarterback to throw him the ball, that he was starting to get back into what people saw at USC, his either it was his senior year or his junior year. I think he actually missed his senior year, but he was actually starting to turn that corner. So both of those picks kind of stick out to me.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to go through it real quick. You know, I'm not a big fan of Ryan Terrain, but can't worry about him in the eighth. There's really nothing that really stands out bad for me in this. Steve Smith in the eighth, like, go ahead, score. You know, worth the chance. It's a risk, but in the eighth round, so what? You got to take some risk. You know, it's Steve Smith is as much of a risk right now as A.J. Green is.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay.
With Andy Dalton as the quarterback right now, yeah, that's as much of a risk for sure.
Okay, cool. I was expecting that about 3 minutes ago, but there you go.
You're lulling up to sleep, Jim. Get him more popping.
Okay, well then, Andy is wearing a Toledo top hat. How's that?
Still don't know what that is, but fantastic once again.
if Joe, I'm going to ask you, if you could have any person in this round, who would you take?
Mike Williams. I hate to keep putting her on a pedestal, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but if this guy stays healthy and the situation is the same, I mean, Pete Carroll's still there. They re-signed him. He has a job, unlike some of these people in this round. So, yeah, I like the value there, and I hate to keep propping Shane on some of these picks, but that's a guy that I'm trying to get laid. He was on a lot of my teams last year. If he just keeps himself in shape and stays as motivated as he was last season, I expect even bigger things in 2011.
And I'm going to pull Bill back in because, Bill, I apologize. I totally forgot you were sitting there. You've been so quiet.
Okay, Jim.
You didn't chime in at all. Not like you at all. give us your thoughts on your pick on A.J. Green.
Well, I got kind of screwed out of a couple of picks there. Jim, I think something happened. The timer expired for Red Sox Nation, by the way. But I got kind of in a bind for wide receivers. I had to go back-to-back tight end since there's a flex. So I was just looking for the best value. Green should get quite a few targets. So I'm just hoping for some upside there. Really worried about the quarterback position. Hopefully they'll bring someone in. I don't really see Dalton being able to do justice to him. But at that point, you know, that was just best available wide receiver for me with that call.
Okay. Definitely, you know, it's worth the chance. And I pushed it back for Red Sox. Hopefully he sees that. And see if he gets a chance to pick again. I reset the timer since this was the first time anybody's done it all draft, and I'm quite happy with that, actually. I thought we'd have a few of those. So hopefully he knows he's picking and he's around to pick, and he still says he's here. So go ahead, Steve, pick again. So let's go on to the ninth round. Let's see. Refresh my page. Okay. Brian, why don't you read off who everybody took in the ninth round?
Ninth round. I was all excited sitting there staring at Mike Tolbert's name in the eighth round as my favorite pick. But I'll
Okay, then go ahead and talk about Mike Tolbert. What do you expect from Mike Tolbert?
What I expect from Mike Tolbert is great value, but the reason that his name sticks out to me is because when we started all these things, I was able to grab Tolbert in like the 12th round, the 11th round, and me and my big mouth, I keep talking about him, and now here it is, a couple months later, and the guy is essentially moving up four rounds in where he's being drafted because, you know, I don't want to credit it all to myself, Jim, but, you know, I'm hanging out with you, I'm talking to you, and a little bit of that ego might be rubbing off, and so therefore I'm going to go ahead and say that I have influenced Mike Tolbert's ADP to move up about four rounds since we started this thing. I think Tolbert and Ryan Matthews are going to end up in a maybe at worst 60-40 share with Tolbert, getting 40%, but Tolbert getting, you know, 90% of the goal line. And that could end up being a huge swing, kind of like when Brandon Jacobs didn't carry the ball that often but ended up with, like, what was that, 10, 12 touchdowns that year with the Giants when his value then kicked up the next year. But
even with the PPR format, still, you still like Tolbert that much.
Tolbert can catch the ball, too. It's not like the guy can't catch the ball.
Matthews caught 85% of his targets last year. I think he's going to gain a lot of the coach's trust on third downs and passing situations. I don't know. I just think Tolbert, you know, if you look at his play, Matthews was much more dynamic. Tolbert was, his yards per carry were lower. I just don't see him being able to keep up what he did last year. But I agree he will probably get the goal line carries.
Okay, well, why don't you guys continue to talk, because there's an issue with Red Sox Nation's picks that
okay.
I'm trying to figure
yeah.
out, so you guys talk.
Well, the Tolbert Matthews, I mean, I can't remember exactly what the yards per carry was on both those guys, but it was fairly similar from what I remember. I mean, look, Tolbert is not the type of guy, he's not as dynamic as Matthews, I'll give you that 100%. But when you've got a guy that goes from, like, what did he have, an ankle, a knee, a shoulder, an elbow, Matthews had every injury he could come up with on his body, and Tolbert just kept producing when asked to produce. I mean, the guy had 100-yard games when he needed to have it. He scored a touchdown in damn near every game he played in. For you know, he can catch the ball. I don't think that all of a sudden we're going to see a Ryan Matthews, you know, 80-20 Tolbert split like that. And Tolbert's going to get goal line carries. They're going to trust him a little bit more on that just because of his size. And the guy's a big bowling ball.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't think it'll be 80-20 for either back. I think it'll be closer to, like you said, 60-40. But for
yeah.
PPR format, I just like Matthews a little better. But I hear your points. They're definitely all valid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, give me free PPR. And, you know, if my overall hatred of Matthews, which is irrational at times, doesn't allow me to draft him. But overall, he's a better value, just especially with PPR. But, you know, Matthews is going, what did he go in the third round in this draft?
Yeah.
Exactly. And he's going usually in that round, you know, in most of the drafts I've seen. And I'll wait. You know, for my thought is I'll wait on Tolbert and get him in the 8th, 9th, or 10th round and feel like that I'm probably not going to lose out that much on fantasy points to Ryan Matthews.
Agreed. It's good value in the 8th round. There's no arguing that whatsoever.
Okay. Well, we had our first issue of the of the draft for some reason, it would not take Mark Clayton for Red Sox Nation. Everybody out there, please do not try to take Mark Clayton. I don't know what's going on, but don't take him.
Ooh, good.
I will add him later. Go ahead, score is up now.
Okay.
So, where were we talking about?
The ninth round. I'm sorry, we're on to the ninth round. I'll go ahead and read off the ninth round.
Okay.
Electric Relish started the ninth round with the Carolina Panthers version of Steve Smith. I followed that up with Devon Bess. Red Sox Nation took Danny Amendola. Simon from Go Ahead Score took Brandon Pettigrew. Big Jubes followed that with Jordy Nelson. Shane Hallam got Chris Cooley next. All-Purpose Roto went with Mikel LeShore. Fantasy Taz Jim took Jay Cutler as his backup, I believe. Bill Servi went with Deion Branch next. Then wide receiving grabbed Brandon Jacobs. Iota Gator followed that up with Mercedes Lewis. And to finish it off, Bruce Fat Cat 52 took Joe Flacco. That's all I got. That's the end of the round, guys.
Okay. Sorry, I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with the live draft room. We're having a little difficulty.
No,
so, Andy, pick one pick and rip it apart, dude.
Ah, Danny Amendola. This guy, everybody, you know, it's Wes Welker. Well, no, it isn't. This guy has, I mean, he averaged, I think, less than 8 yards per catch. He's a fine possession receiver, but Wes Welker could find spots. This guy doesn't have – there is such a slew of wide receivers, Mark Clayton being one of your issues right now, being in the mix. You got the two rookies. You have Avery coming back. I don't think that there's any value in St. Louis wide receivers until we know what's going on. I'm not going to take any of them before, like, the 11th, 12th round. And Danny Amendola seems to be the one that actually had a decent season last year. But I had him as a number three wide receiver. And most weeks that I started him, I wish I hadn't. And I would think it's just getting more murky now.
It's definitely a murky situation. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be interesting. And, I know everybody's counting on Greg Salas to come in and be that guy for them and do those things. I'm just not – I mean, I like Salas. I just don't think it's going to happen right away. I think I just picked for Bill by mistake.
No,
I think I did that. Sorry, Bill.
That's okay.
It's on you again, buddy.
Did you mean to take Goodson? Because that's who
I wanted. Yes, I did mean to take Goodson.
You bastard.
Nice.
Fargan. Put Fargan in front, please.
Pulled the Roman Maroney.
You Fargan.
Oh, no. All right.
Okay, so let's get back. And, I'm not a big fan of Deion Branch. I'm just not. Everybody likes his kid, and everybody thinks he puts up these great, big, huge numbers when he really doesn't. He's a two-week-a-year wonder. I'm pretty sure you could probably get him in, like, the 15th round.
Yeah,
wow,
that was
silence. I love that. I love when that happens. That's great radio.
I kind of agree with you.
Well, then say that.
I'll gladly disagree since I'm the one who picked Branch. Branch should be a solid possession receiver for Brady. I'm just looking to throw a bunch of number three, four wide receivers and hoping this best ball format that one of them, two of them, three of them stick every week. So I think Branch isn't going to light the world on fire every week, but he's going to get six, seven, eight targets as long as they don't bring in somebody from free agency. And in the ninth round, I'm just looking for someone that can post some good numbers for me for a couple of weeks. So I agree. He's not going to set the light out the world on fire, but I'm hoping for a little bit out of him at least.
Oh, so you're really only counting on a couple of weeks. Oh, okay. Well, then you're good. Because
well,
that's pretty much all you get out of him is a couple of weeks.
10 to 15
there's
points.
No doubt about it. So, you know, then if that was your thought, man, then that was a great pick, dude. Nice job.
I think you got to talk about Chris Cooley.
it's just crazy what it is. So, And that's why we do these shows, because we all disagree, and, you know, we talk it out, and we go back and forth, and we give everybody all these, you know, different reasons why we disagree, and then we all agree that I'm right. That's how it works. That's how it should work.
I'm frantically researching Branch's numbers right here and looking at it. I see 5 games with 7 or more receptions, 2 big games, 3 big
games
with 100,
7 or more receptions. But wait, tell me how many he had with less than 3.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hey, exactly the same amount. Wow, that's good.
How many of them are in the ninth round? He also had games where he had 26, 30 points. Hey, I'm not arguing with these. 61 catches, 818 yards, 6 touchdowns, 92 targets.
Well, you know how it is. You know, I'm tough on Bush, I'm tough on Branch.
Now, Jim, can I interrupt for a second? Let's do it again.
Yeah, like I can stop you.
Well, good. I'm saying when we do the live counting again on the air, I'd love it to be Sesame Street the count. So when we're going to count stats live, we're going to do that because it just makes it more exciting.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing, Andy. We all appreciate that. And we actually have another caller on the line. How's that? We just can't get enough tonight. So we're going to bring on another caller from the 209 area code. Caller, who are you?
Hi, Jim. This is Bruce. Metcalf.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
Not too good. I just lost my freaking internet.
You lost your freaking internet. That's not good. You're
up. Yeah. I know
that. And the timer expired.
Oh, yeah. I'll reset that. I'll go back.
Yeah.
Do you want me to try and pick for you?
Your timer's expired. That was it.
Yeah,
let me get it back together, and I'll have to pick
one. Wait, hold on. I keep hitting undo last pick, and then it keeps going right back to timer expired. So let's stop it. Undo last pick.
Come off it, Bruce. You called in
there
for some live advice.
Okay, so let's start
draft. I just came in against Joe was beating up on me. Joe who? I thought he was my buddy.
Okay, Bruce, you're back up. You got 2 minutes. Can you make a pick?
Okay, you go make
your pick because we got another phone caller. We're going to bring him on.
Okay.
So you go make your pick.
All right.
Okay, 603 area code. You're on the line. Who are you?
Hey, Jim. It's Chris from All Purpose Roto.
Hey, it's part of Briss. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I love our draft right now. I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, come on now. You got to discuss your draft a little bit because tell everybody how you started.
4 wide receivers. We thought that was the most value, so we went with 4 wide receivers right in a row.
Well, explain them. Tell everybody who you took and what the thinking was behind the whole 4 wide receiver start.
Yeah, we started out with Andre because we had the top 6 running backs in the same order. Well, not in the same order that you guys did, but, you know, those were our top 6, and so we went with our top wide receiver on the board with Andre Johnson, and then we went with Larry Fitzgerald in round 2 because we thought he was the best value. Then in round 3, we went with Vincent Jackson because we thought he was the best value. And then Dez Bryant fell to round 4, and we thought that was crazy, so we had to take him too.
Okay, well, you mentioned a guy that I just don't see as high that everybody else does. Give us your thoughts on Vince Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, if he stays in San Diego, I really like him. And I think that any team that would be looking to trade for him outside of, say, Seattle, I still really like because – I know that there was some talks with St. Louis, and if he were to go to St. Louis, I think he'd just be fantastic. So I know A.J. Smith's been talking about trading him, but I'm not too worried about that right now.
Well, you know, again,
how do you feel
about
the nickname Chris?
I am perfectly fine with that. It's better than just saying Bob, because it at least recognizes me a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. You actually got more of the name than he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about Brissy? Is that okay, too?
Whatever you guys want to call me.
Come on, Bruce, what's going on? Bruce, you out there?
Yes, I am. My internet is coming up, so just give me this. Give me Drone Carter from Indy. I'm going with that one. And because I don't have anything else, I'm just kind of shooting in a blind, and I'll take Manuel Sanders.
DeLone Carter. Okay.
Okay.
And then the other one was Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, because nothing's working at all, so I just grabbed a list I had printed out. I'm just trying to figure out who's left or who's not. I don't even know what I
Actually, you know what? It's not really working so well for me at the moment either. The live draft room is having some issues tonight. I just think we got too many people in there or something. But I will make your pick for you right now, Bruce. Let's see.
Well, I wanted to actually ask Chris a few questions. Or Briss, sorry.
You wanted Emmanuel Sanders. And, I'm sorry, who was the other one?
DeLon Carter.
Yeah. Oh, this thing is being a royal pain tonight.
Please, Joe.
I like that Emmanuel Sanders pick too, Bruce. But point being, though, my only issue, and I like the value that the APR guys got there, but looking at the running backs, and you know, you can take your shots in the dark on rookies, but the issue I'm having is you've got three running backs with the same bye week, and that's just going to be a rough week five right there. I mean, that's pretty putting yourself behind the eight ball, I think.
We like them, and, you know, with the running backs that were available, we noticed the bye week. But, unfortunately, those were the best guys on the board, and so we had to roll with it, and we're going to have one bad week. But we're just going to have to find a way to get another running back, and I don't think that we're done with running back right now. So hopefully we can get a guy who doesn't have a bye in week five.
Love that Dez Bryant value. That's
round four, that's as late as I've seen him drop in a little while.
Well, come on, guys, keep talking, because I got to figure this out.
Well, you got to be a little bit concerned about having Felix Jones as your number one running back. I mean, we got Daniel Thomas, LeSure, Hilo. It's all rookies following that. There's got to be. I mean, I know rookies can plug in, you know, and be productive in fantasy football, but that's got to be a little bit of an issue. And, you know, going four wide receivers, I can, you know, see the point on the value a little bit, although I'm not as high on Jackson or Bryant. But three rookie running backs to follow it up, you know, that's kind of a tough scenario.
No, and I mean, we don't expect all three of those guys to pan out, but if two of them do, then I think that we're in a really good position. And as I said, draft's not over. We still have more running backs that we like and that we're going to go for.
What round are we discussing here, by the way? Are we in the ninth round? We're in the ninth round. Can we talk about Chris Cooley? You know, I hate the fact that Shane Hallam's getting all these credit as we've gone through here. Chris Cooley is just such a solid value there. I mean, this is a guy that just, yeah, he got hurt in 2009, but other than that, I mean, he's a pretty valuable guy. I mean, I know we're not so sure who the quarterback is going to be, and his touchdown situation is a little bit iffy, of course, but, you know, it's a PPR league, and the guy's catching 70 balls. He got 77 last year in the mix between Donovan McNabb and Rex Grossman. I really like Chris Cooley there. I was actually kind of hoping I was going to get him as my backup tight end, but Shane beat me to him.
Okay, I'm back. It looks like I got Bruce all sorted out now that he broke the draft. Eye of the Gator is back up. I got to start the draft. There we go. Okay. Eye of the Gator took Rashad Jennings, and wide receiving is up. So hopefully we're back on track.
I'll probably read round 10, Jim, to get you back so you're not discombobulated or back on track. Would that be not helpful?
Absolutely, Andy.
Okay, round 10. First
I didn't
pick.
Call you Mr. Andy that time.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jim.
No problem, Mr. Andy.
All right, James. Fantastic. Mr. Jim. Mr. J. All right, Fat Cat at 10-1 picked Greg Little. Ia Gator picked Michael Bush. Wide receiving picked Kellen Winslow. Bill Serby picked Lance Moore. You picked Braylon Boom Boom Edwards. Brissy picked Roy Helu. Shane picked Montario Hardesty. Big Jubes picked Chris Wells. I guess a super favorite in Canada if you talk to Rico. Simon picked Mark Sanchez. Red Sox Nation 88 picked Pierre Thomas. Another favorite of Errico Yeomans. And Brian picked Aaron Hernandez. And Electric Relish took Tony Gonzalez, the old guy.
Okay, I'm going to go to you on this one, Chris. who do you think is the worst pick of this round?
Putting me on the spot. I don't know if, you know, round 10, there's not too many reaches. But, I mean, that might be – I'm not a huge Joe Flacco fan. I know that much in the earlier round. But, I mean, Braylon Edwards, we don't know where he's going to play. I don't think the Jets are going to re-sign him, and I'm not really a fan of that pick. And you're a New York guy. Why are you taking Braylon Edwards, Taz?
Yeah. Because I'm hoping he does stay. I think they'd be smart to keep him. And, you know, I'm not a big fan, but he had a good season last year, and, you know, maybe he's gotten over the hump.
You're up.
Again, you're just looking for a couple of big games out of these guys. You're picking this late in the draft, and I know I'm up. I'm picking right now. I'm going to go with this guy. Yeah. Something for a change. Yeah, yeah. We're going to go with him. There we go. It actually worked. Good. So I made my pick. We'll keep going. So you didn't like my pick at all, did you? Okay, well, there's the mute button for you. How about you, Joe? What's your favorite pick in this round?
There's a few really good ones I like, but man, looking at tight end, Kellen Winslow, this guy hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, it's between two tight ends, really, Relish and wide receiving, but props to both those guys. I think you're getting serviceable starters while even after the big run is already come and gone, you're still getting a weekly guy that you can count on. I like Winslow there at 10:03, and looking at an emerging offense and a quarterback where Winslow, the guy's he's a team leader now. What he says actually matters, and he may still be a soldier, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, I actually love the Winslow pick. Actually, he was going to be my pick before wide receiver took him. I mean, he's just not getting any love at all. I mean, everybody's just pushing him down. Yet, I look for him to have a bigger piece of the pie this year, even with Aurelius Ben coming back. I just think, like you said, he's taking more of a leadership role. He's becoming that guy. I think he's going to have, you know, a really good chance. Now, I'm going to go back to you, Chris, for a second. Give us your thoughts on Roy Helu, or was that a Bob of the Briss pick?
No, we both kind of like him just because of the situation. We're not huge Terrain fans. You know, he's been injured pretty consistently, and Shanahan is just so fickle with running backs that in this format, we're going to get a couple good weeks out of him. I'm not saying he's going to be a consistent guy, but in the Draftmaster format, he'll have a couple nice weeks for us.
Yeah, I can't argue that. Joe, was that you? You had something to say?
No, I was typing, but...
Oh, okay, well then go back to your typing.
getting a little noisy.
I'll go back to you, Bill. What's your least favorite pick of this round?
Actually, Jim, my computer's completely froze up. I'm going to have to say pass for a second. I don't know what's okay. There it goes. Sorry about that.
We're all having all kinds of computer fun tonight.
Right on time, right as you said it. Let's see. You know, it's again, in that round, you know, it's hard to find some, put blame on any of them. I really liked a lot of the picks in there. I kind of like Roy Helu. I like his game. I think he might actually win the starting role. I do like Hardesty as well. Chris Wells, you know, those guys, they're all worth a shot in the 10th. I really don't see anything that you can say is really a bad pick. I did like Pierre Thomas at 10-10. I thought that was pretty decent value. I think, you know, if Bush departs, I think Thomas might be a good serviceable third down back and have some decent games.
Okay, let's see. Bruce, what was your least favorite pick of that round?
All right, now I'm trying to get – I'm just kind of listening
to
it.
You're still out of it, too.
All
right. Okay, we'll let you go.
Yeah. I'm trying to get up on my phone right now.
Okay.
Let me jump in here and talk about Lance Moore if I can.
Okay, then you can.
Yeah, Lance Moore was the 24th ranked PPR wide receiver last year, and here he is going in, what are we, in the 10th round? I know that we're not sure if he's going to be back or whatever, you know, this and that, but, I mean, man, you got to like a guy that came up with, 60-something receptions, 8 touchdowns, and there he is available in the 10th round like that. I got to like that. I'm sorry. You know, I could say Kellen Winslow, but we've already said it. You want me to talk about worst pick? Boy, that's – I mean, I could say Montario Hardesty, but that's just because I believe his knees are made of balsa wood. But I think actually it's Chris Wells. I, I think Chris Wells is done. I don't really see Chris Wells having much of a future. I mean, he tried. He's got what I believe, like Ed Bouchette has described as skinny ankles. He's one of those guys with a big frame but small bones, and somehow or another he always gets hurt. So Chris Wells might be my worst pick of that round, just because I don't think Chris Wells has much value at all.
Well, and going back to your Lance Moore, yeah, he's definitely undervalued. But, of course, you know, again, we're talking about a guy that could very well be on a different team. But he does have 18 touchdowns in, you know, two out of the last 3 years, being 2009, the year that he had cut short because of the injury. But in 2008, he had 10 touchdowns. 2010, he had 8 touchdowns. So he's definitely, you know, he's definitely the guy in the red zone for Breeze. There's no doubt about it. So hopefully he's coming back to New Orleans. Or, you know, he goes somewhere where he gets maybe a little bit more of a chance, which would actually be pretty good too, because I'd like to see him with a bigger role somewhere. I think he could perform well. So let's keep going. Let's go on to round 11, which I believe is where we are right now. No, actually, I passed that. Okay,
just
good. I had to refresh my page. Okay, round 11. Electric Relish took Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ooh, we know Brian hated that pick.
Yeah.
Brian Quinlan took Matt Cassel. Red Sox Nation tried to take Mark Clayton and screwed up the entire freaking draft. Go Ahead Score took Dustin Keller. Big Jubes took Reggie Bush. We all love the Bush. Shane P. Hallam took Tim Tebow. All Purpose Roto took Jared Cook. I took Mike Goodson. Bill Servi took, I lost it, LaDainian Tomlinson. Wide receiver took Michael Sims Walker. Eye of the Gator took Jermaine Gresham. And Fat Cat 50 took Emmanuel Sanders. I'll throw it out to you, Joe. What's the pick you like the most in this round?
I'd have to say Ryan Fitzpatrick. As we've talked on our show, I'm still pretty high on him, and not just because ER broke Brian's heart there, but and I noticed Brian took a quarterback right there too, so I'm sure it was like right in your lap there. But I like the value there, and I mean, yes, maybe there was a bit of a slowdown last season, but you bring in some more healthy offensive linemen for a change. Maybe if Carl Malone's bastard son could make it through 16 games, he might get one more second to throw that football. I think things are looking up maybe in Buffalo, at least for the pass game. One thing we know about the Bills, they're going to be playing from behind, so Fitzy's going to have to force that ball. And once again, in this situation we're in right now, this guy has a job, and that's better than you can say for some of these other quarterbacks at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only thing that worries me, especially about Fitzpatrick in this round, is that I know Brian's very high on him, and, you know, he came in and lit it up when he started last year, but he really faded down the end. So, Brian, what's your thoughts about that fade, and do you think he gets away from that this year and is consistent for the entire season?
Yeah,
and take your Buffalo freaking Bills hat off first.
I'm taking it off. He absolutely faded, coming down the stretch for sure. But I think that some of that maybe is a product of the fact that this guy was never really asked to carry it. To carry a team like that, and let's face it, he was really carrying that team. I mean, he was a locker room leader. The Buffalo Bills, as bad as they may have been defensively, they were able to hang in there in a lot of games. I mean, they lost a lot of close games. He had really, I mean, down the stretch, sure, he faded, but he had just that Week 16 game against the Patriots when he threw the three interceptions. Other than that, he's thrown more touchdowns than picks. His completion percentage isn't that great, but Lee Evans faded off into nothing. Stevie Johnson defense has figured out who he was. C.J. Spiller still cannot figure out how to run without hesitating all over the field. I think, hopefully, if the NFL gets itself together here and we can have just a little bit of a preseason, perhaps these young guys, they've got some talented young guys, they can get together and maybe gel a little bit. I mean, that offensive line, yes, they were brutal last year, but they were brutal because of injury. There's some talented guys there. If they can stay healthy, and those young wide receivers with Nelson and Jones and Easley, along with Steve Johnson and even the veteran Lee Evans, I mean, there's some potential there. And to be able to grab Fitzpatrick, I mean, really, I was disappointed. I should have grabbed him in the 10th round. So if you'd asked me who the worst pick in the 10th round is, I'd say it's my pick of Aaron Hernandez because I should have taken Ryan Fitzpatrick. I really think this guy has a ceiling of top 15 this year, and I know that that sounds ridiculous, but...
it does. It really does.
It does, absolutely. But when you look at
Wait. I got to pause you for a second because I need to get Bruce back on the line. Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Jim, give me Watson. It gave me Selleck. I got it on my phone up now. So.
Okay, Bruce. Cool. I took off. Who did you want now?
Go ahead and give me Ben Watson. I don't want Selleck.
Okay.
Okay, then I don't even know
that
who.
Won't let me make the pick for you from that way. Hold on. Let me do it the other way, Bruce.
I'm trying to figure out who... Who's left here real quick, and I'll make another pick real quick.
Okay, well, you got to tell me who your pick is. So
yeah,
I
know.
For you.
You
guys keep talking while I fix this.
Well, now, Brian, I have to expound on your that mistake there, as you mentioned, taking Ben Watson before. But, I mean, you even forsook your Buffalo Bills for a Patriot?
Yeah.
Man, that's low. Brian.
It's horrible. I went strictly for value. I regretted it as soon as I hit the send button. But to get back to Lynch.
Back to Lynch. Don't even think about getting back
I'm sorry.
To Lynch.
To get back
don't
to
even think about it. Bruce, who was your other pick, Bruce?
I'm just going out of whack here. Is Murray in Dallas still there?
No.
No.
Okay.
You want a running back? I'll give you a running back.
don't give me a Seattle running back. I don't want Forsett. That'll piss off ER.
How about Jason Snelling?
Yeah, I'll take him. That'd be all right.
Okay, there you go. You got Jason Snelling.
Please sell that.
Nice.
Okay, Eye of the Gator is back up.
I just want 2 seconds to finish on Fitzpatrick. I say that
You're not done with Fitzpatrick yet?
No, but here's the thing. I say that he could finish top 15. The guy was the 17th ranked quarterback last year, and he didn't play 3 games. So to say that he could be a top 15 quarterback, I mean, it seems fairly reasonable to me. Guy averaged almost 21 points a game as a quarterback. I mean, yes. He tailed off towards the end of the season, but
yeah,
I think
see, you
get
know what? Wait. You just touched on one of the reasons why stats are so freaking overrated. How much did he average for the season? What was it, 21, you said?
A little bit. I thought 20 and a half.
Okay. How much did he average for his first 4 games? And I'll give you a second to look that up, because right after that I'm going to ask you what he averaged for the rest of the season.
No, his first 4 games, he averaged about 20, I would say maybe 22 and a half. The last 4 games, he averaged probably, looking at it without doing the math, 15.
That's a big jump.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't argue with that. I mean, look, he had a couple of big games where he scored 36 and 32 points or something like that. But, you know, you give him another year in an offense, he's got some developing young talent. We saw Nelson. We saw Jones. We've all heard about Marcus Easley, although I don't think he's going to be as effective this year as people may be wanting him to be. But, I mean, there's some young talent there. And as a 10th round, 11th round quarterback, as your backup quarterback, you know, it's hard to fault that.
Does he still have his magic beard?
I don't know, but I think he does. He has said he will grow it back for the season. So, you know.
That's why you took him. He's a freaking beardy. Okay, that'll do it.
I'm telling you.
Okay, so let's talk. What round are we into? We're into round 12, right? Oh, wait, no. We got to go back and talk about Shane's Tim Tebow. I want to get everybody's take on Tebow. Chris, I'm going to start with you. What does Briss think about Tim Tebow?
The Bob half of Briss hates Tim Tebow, but I have seen Vince Young be a somewhat successful fantasy quarterback, so I don't mind him, and I think that he's decent, especially at that spot. I think it's somewhat low risk, and if he's anywhere near as good as he was the last three games last year, it was a great pick. But I actually have to get going. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for having us in the league.
Oh, no problem. Have a good night. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
And let's keep with this talk with Tebow, and I'll get to the reason why in a minute. But, Joe, I mean, you love Denver, all things Denver. Talk about Tebow. What's your thoughts here?
I'm one of the biggest Tebow haters out there of that draft pick. I just am not convinced of the success he's going to have as a longtime quarterback. But, like you guys mentioned, just the sheer rushing stats, that's what can't be ignored. I mean, that you have to be real about this and like a player, hate a player, what are they going to do at the season's end? And if he plays close to 10, maybe 11 games, maybe they put Orton in there, maybe they don't. Either way, if he gets on the field, chances are he's going to have a rushing touchdown a game. I mean, that's just the way that offense will work with him.
You mentioned a big point. If he gets on the field. I got to come up with this. I mean, we're talking about a 16-round draft where most people will draft two quarterbacks. If you know, people are saying he's low risk. In this kind of league, he's a big risk because right now, you know, there's a chance he's not a starter.
Gotta love that radio.
Silence, yes. We do the best silence anywhere right here on the Twitter Fantasy Football Show. You heard it here first. Oh, wait, no, that's a different website. My concern is if you draft your number two quarterback and it turns out to be a guy like Tebow or, you know, any of these guys, Kevin Cobb, even Kyle Orton at that point, as your number two and it turns out situations change and they don't start, you're screwed in this league because you're relying on just one quarterback for 17 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why a backup quarterback is at a premium and leave it because you can't touch these rosters too.
Right. So that's what I mean. That's why I find it hard to pick one of those guys as my second.
But the thing is with Tebow that you're forgetting, they also have him in goal line packages, and who's to say he's not going to be in goal line packages again or he has
who's
the opportunity to at least
run
the ball.
Who's to say he will be? It's a totally different staff.
Not the offensive
you're talking about a guy
though.
Who handpicked
yeah.
him last
Mike
year.
McCoy
so of course, he
Mike,
got him in the game.
Yep, yeah, Mike McCoy is
still
calling
there.
The plays.
We're talking about a different situation, different head coach. You know, I don't remember John Fox being one where he's a kind of a coach where he's going to take his starting quarterback out to put in a guy for one play at the goal line. I'm just not sure he's going to be that guy.
Have you seen Jake DeLone? I mean, you're not going to put – he never had anybody of that ilk to put in there. Who's to say he's not?
I'm not saying he won't. I'm not saying that. But right now we just don't know. And, again, can you count on that as production in this type of league?
Not necessarily.
You've also got to take into consideration the John Elway thing. I mean – I've heard that John Elway not the greatest fan of Tim Tebow, so there's no certainty that Tebow's going to be that involved as he was before. And I got to agree. I mean, look, I know it's the same offensive coordinator, but you got a different head coach, and the head coach tells the other coaches, you know, look, this is what I'm looking for. You know, they're going to have to listen to that. I mean, you've got Fox as the ultimate, you know, he's the be-all, end-all when it comes to decision makings on that team, and. You know, you got to love six rushing touchdowns in seven games played for Tim Tebow. But, you know, he's
the
also important fact completion and, you know, I'm not buying
the most
anymore.
Important fact that nobody's even talking about is he's got Philip Rivers as a starting quarterback. So, you know, Rivers has got a great reputation. He's a solid, you know, quarterback that rarely gets hurt. So, you know, what are you looking for? 1 week for a bye week fill-in, and then if he has a couple of big weeks. But Jim's to make the point with, you know, Cobb and some of these other guys, Tebow, there is risk there. But, again, when you take a solid quarterback in the fourth round, I really don't see any need to grab another quarterback in those earlier picks. You know, you're going to pretty much count on your starter to carry the load for you for most of the year. I know Rivers, you know, for him to go out for a long period of time would be devastating. But, you know, Tebow, all he needs for really is 1 week. That's pretty much it.
I don't think Rivers has even missed a game yet. And that really didn't factor in. And it really wasn't my point to pick on that pick or pick on Tebow. It was really just the group of quarterbacks that right now we just don't have enough information on.
Agreed.
Yeah, it really was an attack on Tebow. I mean, Tebow played better last year than I thought he would, and he came in at the end of the season and put up nice numbers at the end of the season. And we also didn't see Brandon Lloyd take a mean hit when Tebow came in, which everybody thought he would. So I'm really not picking on Tebow. I'm really just picking on that whole section of quarterbacks that right now we just don't know what the heck is going to happen to these guys. For whatever reason, their situation changed. They might be on a new team soon. They might be free agents, whatever. We just don't know. And drafting this early, it's hard to count on those guys.
For sure.
And that's my only point. I'm just trying to get that out there. I mean, we can speculate all we want that Tebow's going to be the starter, that Kevin Cobb's going to go to Arizona, that Orton may go, I don't know, somewhere else, let's say Washington. We can speculate all we want, but until free agency happens, we just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big question mark. And poor Kyle Orton, man. That dude is the Rodney Dangerfield of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, Denver started off so hot that, not this past year, but the year before, they lose because idiot McDaniels has a falling out with Mike Nolan and the defense goes to hell. And next thing you know, they drop games, like a bad habit, and people are blaming, the offense and Orton and all that stuff. And he just can't seem to find himself in a situation where people will actually allow him to win games and go out and be a good quarterback. And I think he's got, all the tools to do it. It's just unfortunate. He just keeps finding himself in these spots that are just bad for him.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Everybody questioned, Joe and I used to talk about this a lot, the whole changeover from Orton and Cutler and who would be the better QB. And there was a lot of, debate going back and forth at the time because a lot of people just didn't think Orton would play well. And, every time he's gotten a chance, he's done well. and I just don't understand why, they were so quick to pull him last year. And, again, Tebow was Joshie D's, McDee's guy, so that was the real reason. But, let's face it, it wasn't Orton that was losing those games for them.
and if you look at his numbers, he's almost a 60% completion rate, 71 touchdowns against 41 interceptions. It's crazy. He just gets no love. And I really actually, I'm hoping he goes Arizona, somewhere like that, where there's some other talent around them, Fitzgerald, something like that, where he can really shine and maybe have a home where they'll just leave him alone and let him win games. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him in Cincinnati. I don't think that'll happen, though, but it'd be interesting.
Well, what the shame is about Orton is it was finally working for him. Some quarterbacks wait a whole career before they find the right situation, the right play caller, and, the right receivers that they can, really find that mesh with. And it seems to me that he really did find that. And unfortunately, now with McDaniels gone, really, if the Rams are crossing their T's, dotting their I's, I would try and get Orton in as a backup to Bradford, since you never know what's going to go wrong with that wackadoo shoulder. But, it is a shame. It would have been nice to see this come to fruition because, like you mentioned, Brian, last year, I think the light really finally came on in his second year in the same system. For once, he had the same OC.
and that wasn't his fault. 3-10 was not his fault. 20 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, 59% completion. He was making it happen. The defense fell apart. It was atrocious. It was garbage. But I certainly don't think that he should settle for any type of backup role. This guy should be a starter in this league, and there are teams who are going to just be stupid if they, need a quarterback and they don't go for him. Cincinnati, Arizona, Seattle, these are – Kevin Cobb is not the only guy out there in free agency or available anyway. And Kevin Cobb, I'm sorry, but I'll take Kyle Orton over Kevin Cobb any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Ooh, wait, what did you just say? Uh-oh, that was fighting words to Joe. Joe,
hey, well, listen.
Joe, remind us. I believe it was you and Mr. Jared Free. Where did you guys rank Kevin Cobb last year?
I probably had him ranked the highest at about 5 was the peak of his off-season greatness.
Yeah, I remember some wise old man laughing at you for that. I can't remember who.
Injuries have derailed many a fine fantasy football season.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
That was the injury that derailed him. There you go. Good way to hide behind it. Let's go on to round 12 real quick. We only got a half hour left. The show is flying by. Definitely we got a nice chat room going. And, of course, you're listening to the Fantasy Football Twitter Roundtable, and this is the Sports Geeks Radio Network. We are on every night of the week at sportsgeeksradio.com. Come check us out. We got a lot of great shows going on. We're looking to add more very shortly, so definitely a lot of stuff going on here. And let's get back into it. Round 12. Andy, why don't you tell everybody who they was taking in round 12?
Sure. Fat Cat took DeLone Carter. I, the Gator, took Rashard Jennings. Wide receiving took the stellar Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Phil Servey took Ronnie Brown. You took DeMarco Murray. Brissy took Shane Vereen. Shane took Bernard Scott. Big Jupes took Green Bay's defense, who beat my Steelers. Gosh darn them. Simon to go ahead score took Kendall Hunter. Red Sox Nations took Tony Moyaki. Brian, for whatever freaking reason, took Tim Hightower, and Electric Relish took Chad Ocho Cinco.
Ooh, I just can't get into the old Ocho Cinco anymore. Joe, what's your thoughts on Ocho Cinco? Should he be Ocho Stinko now?
Oh, he's definitely Ocho Stinko now, but once again, the huge issue and shroud that's over our current time period with Ocho Stinko, you never know where he's going to end up. I mean, what if by some strange off chance Bill Belichick has a fancy for Ocho Stinko, has a little Mexican wish there and just gets it there, and that's the new number one, and I'm sure he's still got some of his speed left. All he would need to do is run nines while Welker and the tight ends do the rest of the grunt work. I mean, that might be a nice spot for him. So, hey, 12-12, 144 overall, but it's not the worst pick.
Okay, well then, what do you think is the worst pick?
I would go, now, once again, I am Mr. RookieDraft.com, okay, and yes, I fancy my own website, but Kendall Hunter, as much as I like him, this is more of a dynasty pick. I'm just not so sure Frank Gore is going anywhere. I haven't checked to see if Simon actually picked Frank Gore at the end. No, that was Bruce. So, I mean, other than a handcuff, I'm not so sure how much value Kendall has, as much as I really think he's going to be a heck of a player down the line. 2011, I'm not so sure.
Well, you could be looking at a guy who probably gets at least 3 or 4 starts.
Potentially, yeah, but I mean, when do those come? When, I guess in this format, as maybe Simon's 4th or 5th running back, then, you know, it may be worth it. I'm still a little leery of what you're going to get out of him in this season.
Okay, well, in this round, we actually saw quite a few rookie running backs. We got DeLone Carter by Fat Cat. I took DeMarco Murray. All-Purpose Roto took Shane Vereen. So, you know, we had four rookie running backs come off. Do you feel the same way about all of them? Who do you like out of the four? Who do you think has the best chance to produce this year? Elaborate a little bit more.
In this format, I would go Shane Vereen. I mean, honestly, that's the guy that in Belichick's offense, you never know whose day it's going to be. And if Vereen gets those Kevin Falk touches that a lot of people envision him getting, I think that would be a really nice setup, especially, and, you know, it's best ball. So Vereen blows up for a huge week. He wins you that week, I think, especially in this offense. And he's a rookie. I'm also really starting to warm up to the situation. I've always transpired against Belichick, but at the same time, Vereen's definitely got the talent.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see a lot of these rookies making huge, advances, especially with the shorter off season, especially in that offense. I can't see them just letting him go out there and, you know, I mean, he's not a great blocking back, and I think he's going to have a hard time protecting Brady. So if that does come to fruition, if he comes into camp and he's having a hard time with that, then I don't see them moving Ben Jarvis Green Ellis out of there at all. Bruce, are you still with us? Okay, I guess not. We missed his 16th pick. Bruce, you're going to have to tell me later who you wanted for your 16th round pick, and I will add him. But we're not going to worry about it right now. We'll just keep going. We're almost done. All-purpose Roto is back on the clock, and we'll keep going. Okay, let's go into round 13. Joe, why don't you tell everybody who was gotten in round 13?
Electric Relish kicked us off with Danny Woodhead. Not too shabby value there, the veteran. We're talking past facts. Quinlan went Mr. DUI, Hines Ward, feeling footloose and fancy free. Red Sox Nation went Aurelius Ben there, second-year pro. Go-ahead score, Mr. Simon broke Shane's heart with the Hankerson pick at 13:04. Artie Shells, Mr. Big Jubes, went Robert Meacham. I fancy that pick. I'm just going to tell you right off. And Shane tried to rebound at 13:06. Oh, Shane. Greg Olson, Chicago tight end, 13:07. Brisk took Lance Kendricks, rookie tight end, 13:08. Was you, Jim? Went Heath Miller there. W. Servey, Plaxico Burress, he's out of jail and now on his team. Wide receiving at 3:10 went Johnny Baldwin. And then Eye of the Gator went Malcolm Floyd, San Diego Chargers. The last pick of the round was Bruce with the call-in special on Ben Watts.
Okay, well then, Andy, what's your favorite pick of this round?
My favorite pick is actually Danny Woodhead. I don't understand why the Jets return to top form has got anything to do with them. But the one thing about New England is they got all these slew of running backs, but Danny Woodhead seems to be the one that has the role down. They're going to use him on third down. He can catch the pass very well. He's a good pass blocker, and they can line him up on the slot. They could put him around a lot of different places. So that's the guy that I like. Even if he's only used on the third down, he's still going to get – he's going to have two or three very productive games, and at the top of the 13th, that's somebody that you like.
Okay. Joe, who's one player in this round you definitely want to have on your team?
Robert Meacham. Artie Shells did it to me again. He's actually in the chat room trying to brag about his team. I don't know about that, Art, but Robert Meacham, that's definitely a guy I'm really focusing on, maybe around earlier than what he got him. So I like the value. I like the situation. Once again, Lance Moore is a free agent. As much as you guys like him, I like him too, but he could be on another team, which would drastically improve, I think, Meacham's situation, still being underneath the wonderful warmth embrace that is Drew Brees.
Yeah, well, again, Meacham's another guy who just flashes brilliance and then quietly sits in the corner for the rest of the season. I'd love to see him put together a full season and we really see what he could do. I don't think we've seen what he could do yet. And you're right, if more goes, it should definitely help him. We might even see a little bit more Devery Henderson.
Oops.
Or Adrian Arrington. Definitely some guys there that could definitely come into play, so it'll be interesting to see. We got about 15 minutes left, so let's go into the 14th round. Brian, tell everybody who was gotten in the 14th round.
All right, 14th round started off with Bruce, Fat Cat 42, going with Jason Snelling. Eye of the Gator went with Eric Decker next. Wide receiving took Browns quarterback Colt McCoy. Bill Servey took Kevin Cobb, apparently hoping he goes somewhere good. Jim followed that up with Jordan Shipley, another guy that gets compared to Wes Welker because he's white and he catches the ball. Bliss from All-Purpose Roto went with the Detroit Lions defense. banking on that big defensive line with Fairley and Sue. Shane followed that up with another defense with the Jets. Big Jubes went with David Garrard. Simon, go-ahead score, took Thomas Jones in the 14th round. Red Sox Nation, go figure, he took the Patriots defense. I followed that up with Jacquez Rogers, the rookie. And then last pick of the 14th round, Electric Relish, went with the another rookie running back, Bilal Powell.
Okay, so Andy, what's your worst pick in this round?
My worst pick in the round, I'm probably going to say Thomas Jones. I mean, now they're going to use Dexter McCluster there as well, but they're going to kind of muck that all up. Obviously, Jamal Charles, they're going to probably use him more. I just, even on his best game, he's going to have 50 yards and a touchdown, and I don't know how productive that's even going to be in the Draft Masters.
Brian, you're up.
All right. Okay, if his best game is 50 yards and a touchdown, that's a
lot of points.
No, I
meant you're up to pick.
Oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
Go pick.
Oh, it's a picker, for God's sake. Who cares?
Well, go pick. You're already tied down. I had to reset it for you.
Dan Carpenter. I'll take Dan Carpenter.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I hate pickers.
You know, I don't mind Thomas Jones in the 14th round. I'm sorry. He's still going to have his games. He's going to get some rushing touchdowns for you, and there might be one or two games where he gets two of them on the season. So, you know, in the 14th round, I think he's worth a shot. And then let's turn it over even more. What happens if Jamal Charles gets hurt?
Dexter McCluster.
Thomas Jones becomes an instant starter. And, I mean, it wasn't so long ago this guy was one of the top running backs in the league, 2 years ago?
Yeah, but he only has, 13, 14, 20 years in the league? There's a reason why the Jets didn't keep him around, and they picked up a LT who was on his last leg.
And both of them seemed to do pretty good for their respective teams last year, didn't they?
Yes.
Not Thomas Jones, he certainly didn't.
What do you mean, though, he didn't? What are you talking about, dude? Are you really serious about the answer you just gave there? Thomas Jones did pretty good. He had almost 900 yards rushing, had 6 touchdowns. That's not so bad.
That's not.
I can tell you there's a lot of
running back. You're gonna quibble over 900 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not coming.
Tell me another running back you're gonna get in the 14th round who's got a chance to really outperform that. Unless they get totally lucky, not really anybody.
I'm gonna want somebody that's gonna be able to have a shot at 2 or 3 huge games in this format. I'm not going to want the freaking plotter. This guy's a plotter.
He's a plotter who scored over, 15 points 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And that's pretty good for a 14th rounder.
And just under 15 points 2 more times. So,
yeah,
again, 14th rounder, I'll take that chance because I still think he's going to get some chances this year. I mean, he's not going to be a great back, but, for your – 5th running back, I don't think you really can do too bad there. So we got about 13 minutes left. The draft is over. So let's do it. Let's go around the horn. Bill, I'm going to start with you. Still with us, Bill?
Yes, I'm still here, Jim.
Okay. Bill, what's your favorite team?
Well, let's see. I just started taking a look at them.
My team looks
Man, the dead air is going to kill everyone. That's 12 teams I got to try to look at and digest.
While you're doing that, I'll give you a minute to look at that. Everybody else is going to have to do that too, so all of you take a minute. Again, I'm going to let you all know we are the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable on the Sports Geeks Radio Network. We have shows every night of the week. We're adding new shows as we speak, so come check us out at sportsgeeksradio.com. Definitely some good things going on. Also, don't forget, Go Ahead Score. We have a fantasy football draft app that is just great. Definitely syncs up well with My Fantasy League. Right now we have it for the iPod, the iTouch, and the iPad. I know Simon is working very hard to get it on the Droid, so we should have that soon. And also we now have the Free Agency Frenzy game out. Come check it out at Go Ahead Score. Free to enter. A lot of fun. We got a couple prizes up there. There might be some more prizes coming to that shortly. But really, it's just more about fun and having a good time on trying to figure out what's going to happen with free agency. Simon concocted a little game there. And actually, the game was Bill's idea, so thank you very much for that, Bill. Got us thinking about it, and then Simon took it to the next level, as he seems to want to do. So I gave you a little time there with a little chit-chat. So who's your favorite team?
Well, going over them, there's a lot of good teams. I don't think there's really one team that really stands out above the rest. There's a couple of really solid teams. Wide receiving team I like. Going through it kind of quickly. There's a little weakness at running back. And I also liked Artie's team. I mean, if Matt Ryan can pull off a top 12 quarterback and he can platoon it with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, that team's got some upside too if Steve Smith goes in the right situation. So they don't really see one giant team that sticks out as one of the best, but I think it would be an interesting year to see how it all plays out.
Well, and we will. Joe, how about you? What's your favorite team?
Right now, he was bragging about his team in the chat room, so I'll give him some props. Big Jupes, it's definitely a good roster. It's got some balance. You got the Rodgers-Finley connection, Mike Wallace, Brandon Marshall. I mean, I like the value there, and then Adrian Peterson, that's definitely a good one to hang your hat on. I don't know where he's going to get the rest of the running back help from, but you've got pretty dependable starters all around there. I'd, you know, if
are
I
we,
gamble
oh, wait,
a little
wait,
money.
I've got to ask, are we looking at the same drafts in the same teams? Are we?
Yeah.
I mean, are we on the – I'm looking at Big Jube's, you know, roster as we speak, and, you know, Rodgers, great. David Garrard, he'll start the season. We have no freaking clue at this point whether he's going to finish it. And you better believe that Jacksonville's planning on him not finishing it. Like you said, I mean, Adrian Peterson, Fred Jackson, Ryan Williams, maybe. Chris Wells, CJ Spiller, Reggie Bush. You got to wonder what's left in any of those tanks. And then the wide receivers, I mean, Brandon Marshall's nice. Mike Wallace is nice. And then Meacham and Nelson as 3 and 4. You know, that doesn't fill me with a lot of glee right there. I mean, I'm not the biggest Jordy Nelson fan, although he is better than James Jones, Shane.
For the record.
You know, I don't think he's going to have a consistent year. I don't think he's going to be where people seem to think he's going to be. And Meacham, again, you know, unless he steps up big time, you're looking at a guy who maybe gets a couple of decent games for you. And then at tight end, you got your Michael Finley and Jeremy Shockey. You know, Shockey might be a wild card in Carolina. They haven't really used a tight end in a while, but Shockey might give him a little weapon there. And Jermichael Finley, I mean, he's been all about upside, but he hasn't been able to stay on the field. So you're calling this team the best team, and I just don't see it. I just think there's way too many questions for me.
I just like the way the draft synced up, especially the way he handcuffed that Buffalo situation and the Arizona situation on the fly. I was just
you're going to handcuff situations, is Buffalo and Arizona the ones you want to handcuff?
Well, they're certainly easier than the other ones to do.
Hey, I'm a Buffalo fan, and that's not something you want to handcuff, no.
that's just tough for me. That's just tough for me. I have an issue with that. You know, I definitely think there's a couple of stronger teams here, no doubt, and one of them is Electric Relish. I mean, Matt Ryan and Ryan Fitzpatrick, again, I'm not sold on Fitzpatrick having a solid year, but I guarantee he's going to have some good games just because he's going to go out there and throw it 60 times a couple of times. You know, Matt Ryan, you know, definitely teams moving more of a pass-happy. He's definitely passing more each and every year. Javid Best, Arian Foster, even James Starks, Danny Woodhead, and then Bilal Powell. Everybody knows I like him. So, I mean, you know, two great starters, two guys that should get him some points in Woodhead and Starks. And Powell is definitely a guy that has upside, you know, definitely taking a chance on, but I don't mind that. And then he's got solid receivers, Mike Williams in Tampa Bay, Marcus Colston, Brandon Lloyd, Steve Smith of Carolina, and then Ocho Cinco, but that's his number 5. And then he's got Owen Daniels, Gonzalez at tight end. To me, I mean, that's the most well-balanced team on the board for me. I don't even think Big Joe Jubes is even close to that.
I got to agree with you. I like Relish, too, and I hate to say that because he stole Ryan Fitzpatrick from me. But, yeah, Owen Daniels, a top 5 wide receiver if he's healthy. I mean, it would not shock me at all if Owen Daniels was a top 3 tight end this year. at all. I mean, James starts, yeah, I'm a little bit leery of because, you know, the guy averages under 4 yards a carry, and we're already trying to call him the next Green Bay running back. But Matt Ryan has improved by about two points every single year per game, 2 points, two fantasy points per game every year. So that puts him on pace, if he follows that, to score 21 points a game. 21 points a game for your fantasy quarterback puts him, in Tom Brady neighborhood. So you got to like that.
Okay, now I just have to address this because Range is giving me grief in the chat room and saying I had a lousy draft. And Range, I'll tell you what, dude, if you call my draft lousy or my team sucks, you really shouldn't be listening to this show because you just shouldn't be playing fantasy football anymore, dude. No, I'm just kidding, Range. let's break it down. Andy, you love to bust my chops. Break down my team real quick. Give me your thoughts and where I'm going to go wrong or where I went right.
Okay, but let me just give love to – I really like Shane's team, and I really like Electric Rouse's team.
I forgot to ask you that. I thought
were both very good. I thought those were the best two. So, Shane, you did get some love. You got more love for me than you probably should have all night. You still whined at me. But I like your quarterbacks with Cutler and Manning. You know, they're both going to have some great games. Goodson, McFadden, Jonathan Stewart, Michael Turner. Your running backs are solid. DeMarco Murray, who the heck knows. Not super crazy about your wide receivers. Miles Austin does bond with Romo, so hopefully something happens. Braylon Edwards, big wild card. Obviously, Jacoby Ford could be very effective. Santana Moss, who the heck knows where he goes. Jordan Shipley, he's the quarterback situation. So with him being the second or the third or the fourth guy, who knows? Jimmy Graham, solid guy. You know, top four, top five tight end. Heath Miller, obviously, they have the same bye week. I don't know what the heck you were thinking there, but, you know, so be it.
Josh Brown. Like I was focusing on bye weeks while I was trying to do all this crap. Yeah, that, you know, I'm good. But
hey,
you said
bust your chops. I thought that was a softball, okay there, Charlie?
But you know
Let's
what?
Go on.
Even, but wait, you do bring up a solid point about bye weeks. And I'll tell you what, in this format, the bye weeks don't really matter. So what if you lose 1 week with no tight ends? That just means that you have 16 other weeks where you have a chance of two.
There you go.
Different bye weeks, which most people do, in reality it works almost a little worse for you because then you have 2 weeks where you're only relying on one. And if that one does bad, you could have two bad weeks, whereas, you know, I'm going to have one bad week.
Or they both have a bad week at the same time, but,
possible, but that's possible for any combination.
I understand that. So I'm more of a mathematician than you are, but let's not get into that. Carolina Panthers, they suck. I don't know why you picked their defense. Obviously, with the new head coach,
good point. Wait. They do suck. They did suck. But not too long ago, they were pretty damn good. But the reason why I picked Carolina, and I have in a few drafts, and I do think they're a sleeper defense this year, is because Ron Rivera has turned around every single defense that he's gone to. And it's taken him 1 year to do it.
Right, but not this year.
Oh, I bet you they have some solid weeks this year. I guarantee they'll have some solid weeks. He's an aggressive defense. He plays them aggressively. They got some playmakers on that defense. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they end up as a top 10 defensive scoring team this year.
I think there's no way possible they're going to be a top 10 defensive score.
You want double or nothing?
we've already settled this slap bet crap already.
I still owe you
one.
We got 90 seconds left, guys. Let's cut it short. I do want to thank everybody for coming out, for being in the show, chat room, and all the guys, of course, who were in the draft. Good, solid draft right up until Red Sox Nation and Bruce broke it. But we got most of it done. I do want to thank Andy and Joe for coming on. So, Andy, real quick, give us a plug. Where are you?
At DynastyBlitz.com. Looking for my Dynasty Blitz show coming up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. You'll be my first guest.
Oh, there you go. Okay, we get to do it on his turf this time. Joe, how about you, real fast?
RookieDraft.com is what I'm doing. My latest Big 12 blog will be up at NFL Draft Bible. Going defensive players, IDP stars of tomorrow. You find out at NFLDraftBible.com.
Well, there you go. And, Brian, didn't you just put up a new article on Go Ahead Score?
Yeah, I just put up a new article talking about some possible dynasty quarterbacks, Bradford, Ryan, and Stafford, a little comparison. So, yeah, I'll be writing for you. And, of course, every Saturday I'll be here, talking a little bit of football.
Well, there you go, folks. This is the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable on the Sports Geeks Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next week. Have a good night. Goodbye, all.
Peace, fellas.